Happy Friday. Welcome to Cellular Healing TV, episode 87. And we have Dr. Pompa here, and we have a special guest that will be joining us shortly as well. Having a few technical difficulties, but he will be getting on the call very soon. So first off, how you doing, Dr. Pompa?
Doing great. It is a happy Friday here in Park City. Sun is out, blue skies as always. It's getting colder, though. The snow's on its way. We still have our days in the 60s, but it's the mornings, 30s, so.
Oh, that's cold. We had some snow in Pittsburgh last weekend, so it's definitely on its way.
Snowed in Pittsburgh before it snowed in Park City Mountains, and, I live almost 7,000 feet, and you guys had snow before us. Wow, that's pretty amazing. But yeah. I think my favorite biochemist is joining us. I just saw a little flag, so. Talk about some of that. We're on a hunt here. We're on a series of about hormones. So kind of give them some, back shows. What do we do? Let's talk. Remind me what we do.
Right. Well, yes. In some recent shows, we've been talking a lot about hormones. We had a two-part series on fertility and balancing hormones to optimize fertility. Last week, Dr. Pompa, I know you and your wife shared your personal story of your wife's hormone challenges and dysregulation and heavy metal issues and really how over the years you've been working through that. So we've really built up a lot in these past episodes to what we're going to talk about today. We've given you guys a lot of tools and solutions already to fixing hormones and why the hormone problems have started in the first place. So today we have a really special guest, and Dr. Shane Morris, I see he's there now. Hi, Dr. Shane.
Hey, how are you?
Great, glad you got on.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. So yeah, just giving our viewers just a little backstory, but yeah, how we've been talking about hormones, giving you guys a lot of solutions, and today we have some really amazing new information as well. So Dr. Pompa, do you wanna add anything?
Yeah, no, we have been building up on this, and we even talked about birthing babies and raising healthy kids on one of the past shows, right? So, within this topic of hormones, I think this is a really good one. We're perimenopause, menopause, PMS. I mean, these topics, we get a lot of questions on these topics, and, I think today's show is going to be really good because we're going to give you a tool that I think is the safest, really most effective way to combat today's hormone problems. Last week's show, you saw my wife's story, and it even led to, our entire family story. And there was a point in last week's show that I was absolutely stunned because I realized there was all seven of us have gone through cellular detox. And, it was amazing. As a family, all seven of us. So it's a really emotional show as well. So if you haven't watched, watch it. But, this is a hormone topic, as you saw from that show. I've lived this, just so much in my family. And so it's a really personal topic for me. But this, I think, is a topic also that's very confusing. Because right now in vogue is utilizing more hormones. If you go to your alternative, let me start here. If you go to your allopathic regular doctor, they're going to put you on some type of hormone if you have certain symptoms that start up with hormones, right? And we could talk many about those symptoms we have in the past, so you all know what I'm talking about. But if you go to your alternative doctor, now you're going to perhaps get talked to about bioidentical hormones. And I always say, does this work? These type of therapies tend to work in the beginning and sometimes even longer. And the analogy I like to give, it's shouting at your kids. It works in the beginning, but then you find yourself having to shout louder. And, that becomes a problem later. So a lot of the tests that I look at, a lot of people take hormones and they feel better, but they actually increase their risk of cancer and other diseases and problems. So that's the danger of just throwing hormones. Today's topic, I want to bring the expert on who really has coined a term called herbalomics. We have lost our relationship with plants. And part of the hormone battle today that we're having is this lost relationship with plants. Plants and humans have a very unique relationship. And I'll let Dr. Shane speak more about this. But he is my favorite biochemist in the whole world. But, Meredith, you said something in the beginning. a lot of people, we bring Shane on periodically, but a lot of people really don't know his background. So give a little bit of history, Meredith, that you gathered up, right? You said, I just put this together, but I want him to speak to it. I think that's a great idea before I get into this topic, so go ahead.
Right, and some of you may be tuning in for the first time. So we do have this wonderful and special guest, Dr. Shane Morris. So this is just such a treat to have you on the show. And for those of you who don't know Dr. Shane, he is a molecular biologist and an herbalomic expert at the company Systemic Formulas. And he specializes in researching the body's epigenetic response to herbal nutrition. So, Dr. Shane, if you could explain a little bit more about what you do, why you're so passionate about it, and just if you could share your story a little bit with our viewers, it would be amazing.
Okay, yeah. Favorite biochemist, that's funny. I don't know if I want to be your favorite biochemist or your just favorite something else. I don't know, a biochemist just sounds funny. So the story does go back a ways, and you know, it started out, heavens, you know, we're looking back on early 2000s when we were able to sequence a human genome, and that was supposed to be the opening of our eyes. That was supposed to be the panacea of information. And by the time it was done, everybody realized, well, yeah, that wasn't really that much information because we share the same DNA sequence among us to all, you know, with 0.01 difference, but yet we all look very different. We all behave very differently. We all have different issues and strengths and weaknesses and susceptibilities and so on. It can't be explained by DNA, right? And then you take that a step further and you look at the other primates, and we're only 1% different from the nearest primate. So again, it speaks to what else is going on.
Shane, what percent different are we than a mouse?
Yeah, it's only, like a mouse, I think, is only like 7 or 8%. I mean, so when you look at that in the whole, you realize, wait a second, that cannot explain why I'm Danny's favorite biochemist and he's my favorite clinician, right? I mean, you know, how does that happen? So we look at that and we say, well, what else is going on? And so the science looked at that. And today we get to talk to you about the next phase of this. So I'm telling you that now so you can remember when I say this again. The first phase was, what is it that we're learning about our DNA? Well, it turns out that it's not so much the DNA sequence, it's what the DNA gets converted into. And how does it do that? Well, you have ways of controlling genes. We call that epigenetics, right? Above the genome. And you turn genes on and off and you selectively rearrange genes. The most brilliant example of that is our immune system. Our immune system takes all this genetic material and pieces it together like a puzzle depending on which threat you've got. So for example, imagine you've got a table full of tools. Your actual body goes in and pulls different tools off the table depending on whether you're seeing a parasite or a bacterium or a fungi. And that was unheard of. We didn't think it did that. We thought it was a linear process, that it had to go and make it from A to Z. It doesn't. It can go in and do C or F or L. It can go and rearrange. So that was our first inclination of, hold on, our genetics is dynamic. It's not static. So then we looked at turning genes on and off. And, of course, sadly, one of the ways to look at that is the disease states. People that are born with some really unusual diseases lead us to the conclusion that, wow, if they have this disease and it's with them for a lifetime, these genetic diseases, but it's not in the genes, it's in the epigenes. And we were able to then pursue the story. And I think if you have been with Dr. Pomp and I long enough, you remember an agouti mouse story where we took a mouse that we've epigenetically, not knowing this, but it's a obese, diabetic, heart diseased mouse. And they were able to, using nutrients specific to what we call epigenetics or methylation of DNA, reverse that process, get these mice back to health when we used to think of that as a genetic inevitability, right? Once they had it, too bad, they're going to have the rest of their life. And epigenetics is not that case. You can turn it off and go back to health. And most importantly, you can then give that healthy epigenetics to your children and their children and their children. That being said, you can also give the unhealthy epigenetics to your children and their children and their children. You can pass on the negative or you can pass on the positive, but you can fix it. So epigenetics is how we turn our genes on and off and what kind of proteins we make. So today we're going to talk about some things that, again, that Danny and I have been excited about, going from the membrane and receptors to something called the microbiota or microbiome. And for those of you that haven't heard about that, that is the collection of organisms that we live with, that live on us, in us, around us. I mean, they're more them than us, on us and in us. So that's pretty amazing. And you know, we can kind of hint to that a little bit later. But before I go on and on too long, because I don't know how much time I have, we start with, let's go back to the idea of herbs, phytonutrients.
Yeah, so that's where I was talking about, because that word herbalomics. You know, I at the top of the show I said, look, we have lost a certain relationship with plants, and that hinted to the fact that that's affecting our hormones.
Absolutely.
And I also talked about there's a strategy being used right now of just giving people hormones versus maybe there's another way. Maybe this loss of relationship with plants is also affecting our hormones. So how is that possible? Start right there. You know, let's go from there. You know, before I thought you were going to get into this before you jumped right into the whole genetic thing, man. But you know, your world wasn't always our world. You know, you were in another world of, you know, what do you want to call it? The other side of the coin where, you know, they're developing other things. So, you know, real fast, I kind of wanted to get... See, biochemists, man, they just want to get right into the thing, right? He didn't want to go personal. Meredith and I were trying to get you on the personal side. Like, tell us about Shane. Boom, right into the epigenetics, man.
You went past
our bait, man. You didn't take the bait.
No.
Why did you end up here? I'm going to back you up, man. I'm going to make you hit that point. So...
Biochemists are shy, you know. We don't like to go in there and...
You just like to talk about science, I know. I mean, how did you end up in our world, Shane? I mean, you weren't always here. Remember, I remember someone saying, it's systemic formulas. They said, we'll never be able to get Shane, you know, because you were over in this world. And you know, we ended up pulling you in. And our love for the cell and healing the cell, you know, you and I became brothers in that topic years and years ago. But how did you get here?
Well, you know, of course, I've been in... this world since 1984, right? So I've been either creating products, operations, you know, production, you know, in this world, right? Companies doing what we do. But coming over to systemic, I was also going to school. So of course I have a background in chemistry, biochemistry, microbiology, and so on. But coming over here was an opportunity to say everything I was doing was more for the retail side. So the research was more like what you'd see with, GNC, and we were getting into the real deep, expensive research at the universities. And when this opportunity came up, it was actually Nicole who approached me and said, you know, systemic really needs, because my background was production, quality, you know, a little bit of marketing, and then, of course, the research. And we're such a small company, all those things needed to be filled, right? And that's where I first met you. It was my very first sunshine that I showed up and said, well, you know, we've got some work to do. There's so much possibility here. And this particular industry needs to focus on, in my opinion, getting this information out to qualified people, people that are willing to learn and be trained, because it's been abused by people that think they have the quick fix, that think that they can take an athlete and dope them up with an herbal version of caffeine and call it good, right? No, that isn't what we do. We heal people. We don't find a way to turn our herbs into drugs, which is what the drug industry's done in the beginning anyway, because drugs were derived from herbs in the beginning, right? That path has already been tried. That path is tried and failed. So we need this knowledge and this information to pursue our goal of the healing and the wellness at the cellular level. And then in the process, for me, it was my grandpa's company to begin with. And so genetically or epigenetically, I had a passion for this from a very young age. So I knew from age of about 18 that I wanted to be who I am now. And so I just set myself on the path of school, work, understanding the different nuances of how to make a product, what challenges there are, what does quality mean, what does the FDA mean, what does, you know, how do you break a pill apart in a human, and how do you make sure it gets absorbed and become bioavailable, all these technical things, right? That was my path, as well as with the science.
You know, and I have to say, you know, your grandfather was absolutely brilliant. He traveled the world, and you know, he spent time with Aborigines, these tribes, and he learned. He had his education in the world, literally. When you talk to your family, you know, they tell stories where he'd be gone.
Yeah, he disappeared.
Your mom was left behind to raise the family, literally, the kids, right? She was one of the daughters of him, and literally she'd be left behind just to raise the family, because he literally would go off and spend time, you know, with these tribes. He'd traveled the world and spent time out there. And, you know, your path, I mean, obviously the same brain, just through the educational pathways. You spent time, instead of in the woods with tribes, you spent time in academia. That's kind of a tribe of its own. It may be more vicious.
Yeah, it is very much more vicious. Well, yeah, you don't headhunt, but you get close, right? I mean, there's a lot of backstabbing, let's say.
I just think that's a really unique thing, you know, because, you know, systemic formulas was started by your grandfather. I mean, the brilliance and, you know, what he brought, even the energy into the formulas. And systemic formulas has been this, you know, just this hidden gem, you know, started by this brilliant man who traveled the world, you know, who just, you know, like I said, I mean, the brilliance behind his products, many people just could never really figure out what he did. And then comes, you know, here comes you with the education. And, you know, you and I talk, this audience knows very much about the cellulars and the cellular formulas. And, you know, you and I both have a heart with those formulas. You and I both have a heart with the cell and epigenetics. And so that's how you and I were united, you know, around this topic of cellular. Yeah. And that's your background. Clinically, that's mine. Here we are. All right, look, without further ado, they know you a little better now. They know you're shy. They know you're going to avoid the personal questions. All right, but here's the deal. Answer my question. Okay, so the thing is we have this relationship, you know, that with plants and humans. Number one, why has it been affected? Number two, why is it significant in this topic of hormones? Go.
Yeah. Okay, so we have been on a path through the industrialized process of simplifying, modifying, and creating products. And it starts with food. If you just want to use an analogy, food, think of how food has gone from the garden to now. The average food that you get has traveled 1,500 miles to make it to your plate, right? Mm-hmm. Which is ridiculous when you think about it. When you really need to access things around you from your garden. So food was our first lesson that we've been learning. You know, you go from TV dinners to, you know, McDonald's to where we've now come around that and said, wait a second, that's ridiculous. We are ruining our world of food. But food are macronutrients, you know, the carbs, the fats, which I'm not downplaying, but they're wonderful. But that's a process we recognize we left behind. And we're now trying to recapture. But what no one's talking about is that we left all of the herbal, and you can call them spices and herbal, and when you're on a walk, when you're out hiking, you know, our ancestors, and I'm not talking ancient ancestors, I'm talking, you know, my great-grandfather would gather herbs while they were in the garden or on a hike or hunting or fishing and just snack on herbs because they're medicinal. Plants are not as, foods like vegetables and fruit are not as medicinal as therapeutic herbs. They're just not.
The herbs pack a greater punch, right? I mean, even biblically, God makes this distinction of, you know, the food and the herbs. I mean, the herbs are, the medicine. I mean, it's not just the food in one way, but the herbs are very, very potent medicine compared to even food. I think that's your point.
Well, very much, and that's a good point, because all of ancient texts, whether you go through India or through China or through Europe or through even Native Americans, they all have texts regarding herbs and their therapeutic use, right? I mean, those texts are as old as...
Crap, we lost them.
Oh, shoot.
Well, I'm going to make his point. But yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we've lost this relationship with plants, even at the macro level, food, right? I mean, that was his original point is, you know, we're picking food not ripe, so it's ripe when you get to the, by the time it gets to your plate, and that's an issue because, you know, you're losing nutrients there. And then go ahead, finish your point, Shane. I was. Oh, you don't have sound.
Yeah.
Sound. So, and then his point's going to be, yeah, his mute's on. I don't know what happened. Bandwidth? It's always bandwidth.
Hmm.
Well, his point will be, when we get his sound back up, that people just aren't even eating the herbs. It's not even in the food supply. So, yes, we've lost the macronutrient connection with the plants, and now we've lost the herbal component. And this plays into hormones big time because there's something called phytonutrients, what we like to refer to as phytotherapy, where we're taking these powerful plants, or I should say at this point herbs, herbalomics is the term that he has coined, and we're utilizing this very important relationship with human and plant, in this case herbs, which is where the power is, and we're bringing that back together. And I think that as sophisticated as science has been, we have learned more that how important this relationship is. And we're able to safely, effectively, although more slowly, affect the hormones. I was just going to tell, he should actually just chime back in. So I'll text him. We can affect the hormones by introducing certain, you know, certain things back into our, I hear you now. I just heard
you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, goodness.
Right. So, Shane, I brought it all the way up to the fact that by reintroducing certain plants, in this case herbs, that have more power than even plants, we can affect hormones because we're bringing a relationship that was meant to be there, you know, and, you know, we can affect hormones in a positive way. And go ahead, pick it up from there.
Yeah, so, and we can because, and I can't answer you why, but, you know, for as long as we've been on this planet and for as long as we've had our access to herbs, we've used them, so we've created this relationship. And, you know, it's, it, of course, was given to us. And, again, if you go back to the Bible, you can see all these stories told about herbs, absolutely. And it makes sense now when you think about how powerful they are and will be. And then we've, as humans, I think we've also kept them around because we've recognized them. Well, I think we lost that skill. Because, long story short, all the old texts from every country I've looked at, they used to eat more herbs per year, more variety, by almost twofold than they did food. Okay, so let's say you ate 100 different vegetables a year, you ate 200 different herbs a year. And the reason you did that is because you knew if you didn't, you were going to lose health. You were going to lose some of your health. And that's been true in every culture I've looked at. So, not only do we have now modern science, we have this history that says we have a relationship with herbs that changes our health and disease status.
Okay, stop right there. So we don't have this relationship that we used to, okay? And I think we'll get to why that's significant in a moment. But something else has happened now. You know, we also have something called these certain chemicals that we're exposed to that even our generations before were not exposed to. They're called xenoestrogens or xenochemicals, xenotoxins, certain toxins that can mimic estrogen. They can bind to the receptor on cells that estrogen is meant to bind to, and it can block the effect of estrogen, drive the DNA in the cell to produce too much of bad stuff. Maybe it's too much more bad estrogen or too much of other things. So, and then let me back up one second. Our relationship with plants, we know a little bit about these plants would come in and bind to these receptors because they are called phytoestrogens from the plants, and they would bind to the receptors and actually improve the receptor, improve the relationship, you know, with the DNA, and actually make things better. Matter of fact, even requiring less of the hormone. So now we have a situation where these chemicals are coming in, driving bad stuff instead of the plants coming in making things better. Am I wrong on that, or is that oversimplified?
that's not oversimplified, and I'm glad you went that way, because that's, I think, where we start when we want to get back into the, you know, the minutiae or the biochemistry. We start with a receptor, because it's true. All of these phytoestrogens are, the reason we love them is because they bind to these receptors, right? And they also bind progesterone receptors, just, you know, as part of that process. And so, and other enzymes that are involved in, let's say, receptor recycling or estrogen recycling. So we have these wonderful molecules from the plant that when they bind a receptor, as you said, right? So we got this thing, we have the receptors on the cell. When the phytoestrogen binds it, and it might be binding the alpha or the beta, and it does have, and there is some selectivity, what we're finding, and we don't know all the answers to this, but what we're finding is that when the phytoestrogen binds, you're exactly right. It doesn't turn on all these negative byproducts. It doesn't talk to the DNA and say, hey, overproduce more receptors, or turn on the genes that are going to cause breast tissue development. When you're an adult, you don't need breast tissue development, right? That's the precursor to overproduction of tissues that don't need to be produced. You know, produce more ovary stimulation. You know, we don't need that. That's why our bodies trying to be in this balance. Plants don't do that. Xenoestrogens do. And one of the reasons is they bind to those receptors so tightly that the body can't displace them.
That's right.
The opposite is true for herbs. They bind very loosely, so they can get in there and gently nudge the body. And if the body doesn't like it, the body can nudge them away and it can recycle and do its thing. Xenoestrogens are the opposite. They can't be budged. Things are turned on. It's kind of like imagine leaving your car running, right? You're going to burn it out. You're going to burn the gas, fry the engine. The plant doesn't do that. It doesn't tell the cell to burn out.
You don't even understand it exactly, but the plant, I believe, does things when it connects to that receptor. It's doing things that we don't even understand yet. But we know that without these plants, without these herbals that we're not getting introduced to anymore, these darn receptors just don't work as well. The relationship is meant to be there, but it's not. And then we've come in as of lately, and we're, you know, bombarding these things with xenoestrogens, these things that are xenochemicals that mimic these hormones and do bad stuff. Talk about what are some of these xenoestrogens and chemicals that I'm talking about today? You know, why is this all of a sudden a big problem?
Yeah, it's a huge problem because the vast majority of them are coming from the plastics industry. And how many people do you see walking around with some plastic that is touching food or water, right? It's just amazing to me. We now produce enough plastic bottles to cover the globe, you know, end to end, like 3,000 crazy times or something, right? I mean, there's islands off the coast of Hawaii that are being covered with plastic bottles on the beaches. For whatever reason, plastic's easy to deal with from a consumer standpoint, but it has all these, the styrofoams, the plastics, all of the phthalates and BPAs and the acrylamides and all these compounds are phytoestrogens. That's the biggest one to pick on. All of the processed food comes in a plastic or some plasticized paper, and so you're being bombarded with it.
The organophosphates, right? The herbicides,
pesticides.
Those are all xenoestrogens, right?
Of these things, and those are going to be on your soil and on your food. And there's two problems with them. One, of course, they are phytoestrogens that don't release. They get into your body, and you have no way of getting rid of them because you don't have the enzymes to break them down. Plants, on the other hand, you do because you've developed a relationship with plants, so you have the enzymes. Your bacteria have the enzymes. Things that are man-made, when they get in your body, the bacteria don't recognize them, so the bacteria can't break them down. Your liver doesn't recognize them, so your liver can't break them down. So we have this persistence. They get in the environment. The bacteria in the environment can't break them down, so they persist for thousands of years. There are now that being said, I don't want to pick on anybody that's on hormones, but man-made hormones, the pills that we are prescribing in allopathic medicine, are synthetic. They don't break down. They're in our water system. If I test your water, anybody's water on the planet, I find these estrogens in the water. They are there. They won't go away. There, yeah. Our children are getting them. Our animals are getting them, which means they're just it's this vicious cycle because we've made these compounds that cannot be.
Look what we're up against. We've lost the things that protect us and make us in better relationship with our own hormones, and we've gained all these new chemicals that literally inhibit our relationship with our own hormones at best and are even dangerous driving it. Hey, you said about the plastic, right? What did they give those mice in the Duke University study to drive, trigger the gene that made them fat? What did they give them, Shane?
That was BPA, right?
And that's from plastic. Yeah.
That's plastic.
They literally gave them these chemicals that we're talking about, one of them in specific. Yep. And they gave the mice, they turned on the bad gene, the mice became fat, you know, and, you know, obviously the outcome was fat mice. And their children inherited the gene turned on. So these poor little mice literally were doomed to become fat despite what they ate, despite how much they exercised on their little wheel. And that's the sad reality of today. This is what we're up against. So let's talk about something that, you know, you and I have put some time into. And Meredith, I don't know if you want to run and get a bottle of it just to show it off the shelf. You already did. Okay, so listen, we took a different approach. We said this relationship with plants has been off. You know, let's put some study into putting this relationship back, because we know that there's some really amazing research with these amazing plants, herbs, herbalomics, that have this relationship of lost. And if we can do this route, which I like to call phytotherapy, using these phytonutrients, phytochemicals, instead of the xenochemicals, then perhaps this is a better way to get the body working for us, the innate intelligence that knows how to heal. Now, I'm going to say this up front. This is not the take the hormone, oh, I feel this all of a sudden. Now, that can work. Some people take hormones and go, I feel worse, right? I mean, so there's this quick response. With this type of therapy, because it's the way nature designed it to be, we're working with the body, with the intelligence, with the cell. So I always say, be patient. However, I believe this is not only the safer way to go, I believe in the long run, it's the more effective way to bring balance to this craziness, which I call hormone havoc, folks. Meaning that I don't know many women that are going through perimenopause that are going through it successfully, if you will. You know, the hormone havoc today, because of what we just talked about, is epidemic. But I believe this product here can, you know, the ingredients in this product, I believe, work with the body's own innate intelligence, and I believe it's the safer, better way to go, folks. And let me tell you something. Shane, when we started developing this product, I brought out the 24-hour urine hormone test, which is a test that I love to do, and I said, this is what we're seeing epidemically. I showed you one of the tests, right, and you knew, of course, you know all the pathways, but I said, this is what we're seeing. You know, I coach doctors all around the country. This is what we all are seeing in droves, hormonally going wrong. Now, how does herbalomics play into this? Let's develop a product around this that targets these problems, and that's how that product was built. So let's talk about it. Hold it up one more time, Meredith. My wife is on that product. You saw my show last week, okay? My wife is taking the Femicrin product. So that's what came out of those conversations, Shane, and that's what came out of us setting up this whole entire problem. So speak to it, Shane. Go ahead. I'm going to let my dog in the room real fast.
So if we let's break this product down. This product has essentially three different components to it. One is, of course, the herbalomics. The herbalomics are these phytonutrients, and I'm going to read you a few of them just to kind of, because you don't have that in front of you, I'm going to read you a few of the phytonutrients so that you can get a sense. So we have hops. Hops is humulus lupus. You guys, many of you have heard of this. We have Angelica gigas. We'll get back to that one. We have things, bioflavonoids like chrysin and diazin. We have Scientium wolfordii, Flombus. These are all unique plants that I want you to look at when you guys get a bottle of this in your hand. We have Angelica sinensis, which is Dong Quai. We have five different Chinese natural medicines, remedies. So why did we do this? We wanted to run the gamut. As Pompa mentioned, we've got some issues where we want to balance the body. It's more than just estrogen. We looked at, we have products in here that are phytoprogesterone. We have products that interfere with enzymes that we're worried about converting estrogen to the dangerous metabolites, right? So these herbs block the estrogen into terrible metabolites.
Let me say a word about that. One of the things that we're seeing in epidemics, you know, when we look at these tests, are the phytoestrogens. I hope we didn't lose Shane.
No, I'm here.
Okay. You're frozen with this funny picture of yourself. You should see yourself right now. Anyway, we're seeing many women developing these dangerous estrogen metabolites, which we know studies show go on to cause cancer and other hormone problems. And we're seeing it like almost every test we run. So that was an important component of that product to block that. And right. Yeah, a lot of it is being driven by the toxins that we were talking about attaching to these receptors. So there you go. So go ahead. Yeah.
So those are the those are the herbalomic components. These are all phytonutrients. And I want to, you know, we are going to come at this a balanced way, but like the recent past for systemic formulas, we agreed that we were going to do this at therapeutic levels, right? These are not, we're not trying to just begin to dose. We have included these ingredients at what we call clinically therapeutic levels. So I suspect for many patients, they are going to really start finding more quickly than later, start seeing the benefit of some of these ingredients, right? Because we went all out. We took the best of the best. Now, does that mean the first third of this formula is, could you go out and find these ingredients elsewhere? Yes, you could, but it's going to take four or five products to match what we've included in one clinically.
Yeah, and I want to point out it is therapeutic doses, and this is a physician-only product. Every time that my thing shakes, everyone out there knows what's going on. It's that darn little dog that throws this thing into chaos. But anyway, it is a physician-only product, and that's what makes it so effective, I believe. But, okay, Shane, there's something else very special about the product. You alluded to the microbiome. You've alluded to certain bacteria that change DNA for good, for bad. There's even certain bacteria that are special for women as opposed to men. And there's a component of bacteria in this product, and I believe it's the only hormone product right now on the planet that actually has this little special component.
Does have a little special component. So I mentioned there's one of three. That's number two. The second component of this product is it has two lactobacilli, rhamnosus and reuteri. They're the two different versions of that. And they are, let me put it a different way. You've probably heard of these organisms. These are specific to what we call the female urogenital or the female vagina. And how do we know this? Well, the studies that we're following in the microbiome world, by the way, this is all data coming from the microbiome world, is they take healthy women who are experiencing healthy hormone levels, balanced hormone levels, and are at childbearing ages, and they're comparing them with women who are out of balance, they're in perimenopause or menopause, they are not producing the things they need to produce in the urogenital area, or the vaginal tract, and they're suffering UTIs, pain, dryness, and all these symptoms. And they discovered that by looking at the microbiome, right, we have an opportunity to bring health back to that environment, because the microbiome is so critically important to that world as much as it is to the GI tract, right? Remember that our immune system and us, we would not be who we are without it, and it's the same thing with the female urogenital tract. So those two bacteria stood out as being found only in healthy, and they're missing or absent in unhealthy urogenital tracts, right? So that's why we targeted those. Now, there's a lot of really great stuff that's going to be continuing to come out about them, but right now we know that at least they contributed, and I should finish the story by saying that when they got these women back into balance with the bacteria and with their hormonal balances, the bacteria thrived again. Their whole microbiome changed. So in other words, when they were out of balance hormonally, they were in dysbiosis in the female area. When they get out of dysbiosis, they also achieve a hormonal balance. It's a chicken or egg. We're not sure which one drives which one, but they are together. So they're connected. So here's another brilliant story saying that your microbiome in the vaginal and the hormones are intimately intertwined.
Right.
They have to both be in balance. If one of them's out, the other one suffers.
So we're not only going back to the relationship with the herbs and what it does good for the relationship with our own hormones, but we're talking about the bacteria, going back to the bacteria that we need to put us in good relationship with our own hormones.
That's right.
Yeah, and you mentioned a third. Is there a third? Yeah.
The third, you just said the third, and people don't even know you did it. What Pompa just said is we have these phytonutrients, these herbalomics. We have the microbiome, right? We have two wonderful tools that we are on the leading edge of, by the way. I need to reinforce the fact that what we're doing in this field is revolutionary, right, Dr. Pompa?
Right.
We're on the cutting edge, and we don't even get to tell you all the things we're working on right now. I'd love to, because we could go
better. But I would love to spill the beans, right? We were on the phone yesterday, and I got off the phone, and I got all excited, you know?
Yeah, it's fun. So what's the third part of it? Well, it turns out one of the reasons we chose the herbs we did for this formula is because we know that we now know, okay, this is brand new data again, that the microbiome in our GI tract converts these herbs into the therapeutic phytoestrogens, progesterones, and enzyme components.
Okay, stop right there. So what you're saying is if you lack certain bacteria, you won't be able to get the best herbs to help make these phytoestrogens that we need. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. So there's two ways to think about this. One, we need to make sure our patients have the least amount of dysbiosis as possible. However, the second part of this is how do we do that? Well, you know, there's lots of techniques, and you can go on and on about that. But the cool thing about this product is when we introduce these kinds of phytonutrients into your GI microbiota, we're going to be stimulating or encouraging those bacteria to stick around because they wanted those things, right? They need that same nutrition, so we have to be giving them what they need, and then they will convert it to what we need. So it's this really cool symbiosis. If we don't eat these things, then the bacteria that are there will disappear because they're not getting those things.
Wow.
So we're encouraging the right organisms to be in the right place at the right time by giving them these plants, which is why we chose the plants we did in this formula. So that's this third story. We chose the plants because of their herbalomics. We also chose them because we know they get converted into the therapeutic end product we need via the microbiome. So they will encourage a healthier microbiome in the process, right?
Wow. I mean, it's incredible. I love this stuff, man. I literally move up on my seat because that's how excited I get. I hope everyone else feels the same way.
I hope you do. It's crazy.
No, I mean, I think just, you know, going full circle, you know, in the show is, you know, we have right now a world who's just forcing hormones. And I think there's a time and a place to take a hormone and utilize as a crutch. So it's not that I'm against bioidentical hormones, but what I want people to understand is I do a lot of testing, and we see people who feel better taking hormones and are driving certain pathways that are leading to possibly cancer and other problems. So I just want to caution people that I believe that the way we're talking about it here today is the more effective way and the safer way to really improve the efficiency of what your body wants to do. We're not forcing the body in one direction. I believe it's this, you know, innate, utilizing the body's innate intelligence that's already there in relationship with plants and herbs. You know, I believe that's the better way to go. You know, these phytonutrients that are in that product, they come in and they go to those receptors. Studies show, it's not my opinion, studies show that they protect from the xenoestrogens or the, you know, these toxins that we talked about, right? So studies show that these phytonutrients, this product is protective because these plants and those phytonutrients through phytotherapy is what I call it, protect against the chemicals. Because look, I don't care. We're bombarded, no matter how clean of a life we live, we are bombarded with these chemicals that are competing for these hormone receptors. And I believe that everybody can take a product like this and benefit. And by the way, you know, like I said, we're going to get that question. Well, can every woman take it? I believe today this product helps put back in balance, you know, what's been missing and brings you into homeostasis, meaning that we're not forcing the body in one direction or the other. So, Shane, that's my opinion of the product. Yeah. Am I wrong?
No, that's absolutely right. I have one caveat that is an unknown, and the unknown is for women that are on hormonal contraceptives, this could interfere because it's going to want to move the body back into a balance, and hormonal contraceptives, by their very nature, are imbalancing. So this product could interfere with a young lady that's trying not to get pregnant using those, and I just don't want someone to call us and say, hey, I'm pregnant because I'm on this. That's one area that I don't know the answer to that.
You know, yet. We get a bad reputation, right? Dr. Shane and Dr. Pompa got me pregnant. I'm not happy about it, you know. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that would not be good.
You know, we've got, you know, we have to protect that. But anyways, well, listen.
I have a question, too. I know, Dr. Pompa, you said that you've taken this as a man. And can you guys speak to that a little bit about estrogen dominance in men and some issues with that, too, and maybe how Femicrame can help correct that?
Yeah, exactly, because I mean, and I'll let Shane speak to it more than I, but you know, look, I believe the product is about, you know, this relationship with herbs, you know, plants and phytonutrients that we're missing today. And you know, men, you know, look, at I see a lot of men who are in estrogen dominance, and you know, that's a, you know, a problem, and it's part of what we're missing today with this relationship with plants. Shane?
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. And remember, you know, a lot of younger men that were trying to go really hard on, you know, athletic dosing of these, abusing other ingredients, whether they be hormones or phytoconstituents. And you know, you've got the gynecomastia. That's, you know, more and more men are getting that, where they did the weightlifting, but now all of a sudden they have the beginnings of breast tissue, right?
Hey, Shane, on this show, we just call it what it is. It's called bitch tits.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm not. That's really what it's called. I'm not saying that. I mean, yeah,
it's a term that gets used a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So people are like, you know, Palm is trying to be really funny, but no, it's that. That's actually in the bodybuilding world. That's what it's known as.
Yeah.
You know, it came out of the veterinary world. You know, where they call dogs, you know, the bitch and this and that. And that's appropriate language.
Right.
But it's appropriate language. If I offended anyone, it's not my language.
You didn't make it up. Yeah. So it absolutely has a role. And remember, it's balancing. It's not going to, you know, I had a young man here who wants to take it, and he didn't want it to drive estrogen. And that's exactly what it won't do. It won't drive estrogen. It'll try to balance it. There are progesterone binding compounds in this formula. You know, it's going to help bring progesterone up, and they bind gently, so they can be displaced and recycled, and it's never going to drive the process like the xenoestrogens do or the synthetic estrogens. You know, Dr. Pompa mentioned there's a time and a place for hormone therapy, but I would add to that, never, ever, 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 if you have a patient on the synthetics, make that allowable. You might as well let them smoke plastic, you know. Yeah. Put yep. plastic in a pipe and smoke it, because these synthetic estrogens are horrible. They'll kill them. They're horrible. We have no idea what the kind of havoc they're wreaking on these people's bodies, right?
Yeah, you know, and I think there'll be a backlash even with, you know, we look back and go, gosh, we were forcing people in, you know, many different directions with many different hormones. And, you know, I think, you know, there's a time and a place, but I think too much of it is, especially if you're not running a 24-hour hormone test where you can actually evaluate where these hormones are going, I think it can be irresponsible.
Yeah,
but, yeah, no, that's great. And Meredith, I know this, I should say this right now, is Shane, you told me they were putting the stuff in pills yesterday.
Yep.
So I know we don't have our fresh batch. Yet. When are you shipping it to us? Because we're going to be knocking down Meredith's door, so I'm protecting her right now.
Yeah, so what we're doing is we'll have it in bottle in pills today, which means that it goes to testing today. And that means we have, you know, because now, I don't know if everybody knows this, but we do 100% testing. So now when a product is made, we test it before we put it into shipping, right? So we get, now gets tested on the front end and the back end. So yep. The testing will take until about next Wednesday. So we hope to start shipping, you know, Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, you know, fulfill all the orders from the show. And then we've made enough to, of course, be available for everybody at that point in time.
Right. So I would safely say give us 2 weeks, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, at least a week from today. No. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just thinking of some questions I get on the phone, too. So I know that you said that it would not be good if you're taking the birth control pill to take Femacrine. But what if someone's taking bioidentical hormones? Would Femacrine be supportive at all?
I would say they need less, and they would have to be cautious there. But Shane?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that it should be just fine. You know, they might want to, as they're doing it, monitor their symptomology and maybe testing, like metabolite testing. But it shouldn't interfere in a way that would be detrimental, no.
Okay, thank you, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Shane.
One more question, Shane, dosing, right? Because Meredith, you're gonna get that question, I'm trying to help.
Oh yeah, you know, it's designed
on the bottle.
It's designed around two capsules, but that's the starting point. If someone is really estrogen dominant and they're perimenopause, menopause, or post is really painful and really challenging, you can go up from there. You know, 2 to 6, I would say it'd be the upper end. For someone that feels like they're not too far out and their urine tests aren't too bad, you know, you could go down to 1 capsule. If anybody comes back with some data over time, we'd consider making a liquid as well if we need to, you know, change the dosing parameters. But, you know, the idea behind this product is what Pompa espouses, and that is, in the functional medicine model, we're going after the root cause, not the symptoms. You know, we use that to help guide us, but we want to go after what the body's doing at the root, not at what the symptoms are. You know, we don't want to treat symptoms, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, Shane, thank you for being on. And by the way, Shane, I had a request for one of my doctors that we do a webcast now that we have the product, more about the product. So that was put in my ear from one of the doctors. So you know, we could do a show just like this, but more technical for the doctors. So thanks for coming on. I know that, you know, our viewers and listeners, you know, really got a lot out of it. So, and you know what? Thank you for everything you did.
Awesome. It was fun. Thanks for everybody. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Shane. Thank you, Dr. Pompa. We'll have Femacrine on our shelves in a few weeks. So if you're interested, you can give us a call at 888-600-0642. We can put you on a waiting list for the product. And thanks, everyone. Amazing information. And I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
The information shared on today's show can be accessed through our websites, drpompa.com and revelationhealth.com. This Cellular Healing TV episode and past shows are also available for download on iTunes. Help others get real health solutions by liking, reviewing, and sharing our podcasts.